All right, it's 9:03 time for Herman Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Fleming, it is 50 degrees, clear skies, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF, March 18th, 2016. Sunny to partly cloudy today, a high of 59. Winds west-northwest to 15 to 25 miles an hour. Mostly clear and a low of 31 for tonight. Winds northwest at 5 to 10. For tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, followed by cloudy skies during the afternoon. A high near 50. Winds light and variable. We're going to get some snow Saturday night. Accumulation is less than 1 inch. And then that's going to go into Sunday morning. We'll give way to a mixture of rain and snow in the afternoon. A high of 36. 1 to 3 inches of snow is expected. Chance of precipitation 60%. Snow showers continue through Sunday night. Partly cloudy on Monday, the 21st, the first day of spring, with a few flurries and snow showers possible. On Tuesday, except for a few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny and a high of 48. Wednesday, showers in the morning, some clearing in the afternoon, 59 degrees. So we get back to spring. During spring, how about that? Temperatures in our area, 47 up in Tewksbury, 47 over in Frenchtown, 51 down in Ringo's. That is Good Morning Hunterin, Hunting Chamber Radio weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, welcome back to Good Morning Hunting and HuntingChamber.com. That is the harp music of Anju Felix, and she is here with me in the studio along with Maestro Smoley, and we are going to talk about the Riverside Sinfonia that's going to be performing a concert this weekend. And so it's a pleasure to have these two folks in here, and we'll discuss all about the music and everything else. So I want to bring Maestro in. Good morning, Maestro. How are you?
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure to have you here. I told you off air, I learned and was trained in music, professional classical music and jazz and rock. So I do everything to a certain extent. I'm sure you'll blow me away with your knowledge and experience, but I'll try and hold my own. Pleasure to have you. I love doing this because we don't get enough opportunity to speak about classical music and classical music opportunities, and I think it's one of the most one of the best experiences that very few people really understand and appreciate. So looking forward to having your conversation. So tell us a little about you and your experience as a conductor.
Well, I was born in Poland and came to this country in 1987 as a violinist and a member of sort of an internationally recognized string quartet, mm-hmm. named Penderecki String Quartet. After leaving the group, I started studying conducting, which was my dream since I was very, very little. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I graduated from the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, with a degree, doctorate degree in conducting. And it was very... very fortunate to conduct professionally ever since. Right. I actually started working with Rochester Philharmonic while a student at Eastman. And my first full-time job was with New Jersey Symphony. I was an assistant conductor there at the time when Zdenek Makal was the music director, mm-hmm. around 1994. And at the same time, a little orchestra that is based in Henderson County and Bucks County called me if I would be interested in becoming their auditioning for a position of a music director. It was 1993 or 1994. Mm-hmm. I came down for a couple of concerts, and then I was offered the position in 1994, and I've been music director of the organization since that time.
Wow. All right. So you've been local for a majority of the time. What brought you, was it going to Eastman that brought you to the United States?
No, the career as a violinist and as a member of the string quartet brought us. We were awarded a residency at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, which at that time had a very prestigious chamber music program.
Yes.
So I came with the string quartet over there. We studied there. We had a manager in New York. We toured all over the country. Uh-huh. But... violin was just, I think, a step on my musical career on the path that eventually led me to conducting. So I lived in New Jersey for a number of years at the time when I was working with New Jersey Symphony. Then I was a professor of conducting at Northwestern University in Chicago for some time. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to Houston, where I was a resident conductor with the Houston Symphony. Mm-hmm. I still live in Houston, but in the meantime, I had a major job in Europe conducting the Slavsky Philharmonic in Poland, and currently I'm music director of two organizations, Riverside Symphonia here, and a pretty big orchestra in Lafayette, Louisiana, called Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, Lafayette, Louisiana, which is about 3 hours' drive from Houston, and I travel quite a bit around the world. I'm a guest professor at Tianjin Conservatory in China, so I'm enjoying my travels and my music, and of course, Riverside Symphonia has a very warm and special place for me in my career and my life.
I'm glad you mentioned the word warm. When you started out in the University of Wisconsin in Rochester, you were in very cold climes, and then you eventually got down to Louisiana and Houston. I heard something about Chicago. What did you do in Chicago?
I was professor of conducting.
Where?
At the Northwestern University in Evanston, Chicago.
What time?
Exactly between 1996 and 2000.
Okay. Guess where I went to college? Northwestern University.
Really?
Yes, I studied with John Painter.
Of course I know John.
I studied conducting with John Painter, so yes. Well, it's a small world now. Right. That's great. Wow, excellent. Great to have you here. And then we have Anju. Anju Felix was playing the beautiful introduction. And Anju, you are a student at Hunter Central Regional High School, right?
Yep.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm glad Superintendent Steffner was let you out. She's a good friend of mine, and she always lets students come. How old are you?
I'm 14.
14. All right. How long have you been playing harp?
For 6 years.
What made you decide that you wanted to play harp?
It's actually a funny story. In kindergarten, the teacher was going over all the different instruments in the orchestra. And I gravitated toward the harp.
Uh-huh.
But my parents were really confused because they didn't know how I figured out this instrument. So after like a year of persisting them, they finally like let me play it. So now I'm here. Yep.
When you say figured it out, how did you get your hands on a harp?
I think we bought my first harp from the Virginia Harp Center.
Uh-huh.
And now I play the pedal harp. Yep.
Wow. It's not a typical choice.
Yeah, that's true.
So what makes you gravitate to, and I'm really surprised, and I'm sure Maestro Somogyi would explain as well, it's not something that is typically offered at the age that you're talking about.
Yeah, it did take us a while to look for a teacher, but I think I really liked the instrument because it was unique. Mm-hmm. So not many people play it, so I that's why I liked it, yeah.
Right. Now, you mentioned it's a pedal harp, and so I don't think people understand exactly the technique that you have to use with regard to the pedals. So could you give us a little bit of an explanation as to how you play the music and how you have to make adjustments for certain notes and scales?
So for piano, you have black keys and white keys.
Right.
The white keys are natural notes,
right.
And the black keys are sharp and flat.
Mm-hmm.
So for harp, you have three positions for the pedals. The middle position is like natural on the piano. The downmost position is sharp, and then the upmost position is flat.
Okay. So you have to make those adjustments on the fly.
Yep.
So when you decide that you're playing a certain piece, you have to have the pedal in a certain position, and then when a note is outside of that scale, you have to make a quick adjustment with the pedal and your finger at the same time.
True, yep.
And if you don't do that, what happens?
You sound wrong.
You sound wrong. Okay. So, excellent. What school did you go to that had the opportunity to play harp early and learn harp? You said it was one of your school.
I didn't learn this, like, the first time I've ever played harp in school, like, with an orchestra inside of the school, is actually at Hunterdon Central.
Okay.
My older school didn't have an orchestra. I studied with a private teacher. Yeah.
Okay. But you said when you first got exposed to making a choice of music, how did you decide? Who was giving you the ability and the experience to be able to start with harp? Was that was a school, or that was a certain group that you were affiliated with?
No, it was more of like a personal decision, like okay. An at-home decision. Yeah.
All right. Wow. That's very impressive. I'm sorry, I called you Smoji. It's Smoli. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. So Maestro, so now the Riverside Sinfonia has a legacy of trying to include student soloists. So how does that all work? There's a contest, a competition?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, the orchestra was, the orchestra was started in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And the first music director and founder was a wonderful musician by the name of John Michael Caprio,
mm-hmm.
who was also a music director at the St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. I became the second conductor in 1994. And unfortunately, John Michael Caprio died 3 years later in 1997.
Right.
So for a number of reasons, one of them was honoring John Michael Caprio and his dedication to music education, and also filling a need and void, and something that I personally felt was very important. We established a biannual young artist competition, and we named it after John Michael Caprio, so we called it Caprio
right.
Young Artist Competition. And the first edition was in 1998. And every 2 years, we are having those contests that we invite students from Tri-State area by certain age
mm-hmm.
To participate. And the winner always is awarded an opportunity to be a soloist with the Riverside Sinfonia during one of the subscription concerts. It's usually during the Christmas concert, which is more of a family-oriented musical event. Very often, even the second place, a contestant gets another opportunity to play at some other occasion. So I think it offers both an opportunity to play publicly and have a reason to prepare for a special event, which always motivates us to practice more and mm-hmm. be better. And then I think it really can help you to jumpstart your career. We had some wonderful winners in the last 16 years. Some of them have really major positions with major orchestras around the country. So it was a very valid and important initiative.
Now, the Riverside Sinfonia, that's made up of musicians, professional musicians in a certain area, or are they asked to or invited from other performing groups as well?
No, this is a sort of small regional orchestra that has its own roster of players. You mm-hmm. become tenured member after winning an audition, which is very often quite competitive,
right.
And then after 2 year trial, you receive a tenure and became sort of a roster member of the orchestra. And we have pretty much the same group of professional musicians. Sometimes the orchestra is larger, sometimes smaller, depending
sure.
on the repertoire. Of course, mm-hmm. those musicians do play with other organizations,
right.
such as Princeton Symphony, and some of them are subbing with Philadelphia Orchestra or Metropolitan Opera.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our own core group of musicians that we play with.
And where is the concerts typically held?
Well, for 25 years, our home was the Church of St. John's in Lambertville, New Jersey.
Okay.
Last year, we had to move to a different location, and we started playing at St. Martin's Church in New Hope on the other side
mm-hmm.
of the river. However, we still play in a variety of other locations, most notably during the summer. We have a large outdoor concert in Tinicum Park.
Right.
And we are planning a concert in Trenton, New Jersey, Trenton Planetarium, Capitol grounds. But I think our official home, as of now, is St. Martin's Church okay. in New Hope.
And the amount of concerts that you typically put in an annual calendar?
It depends. Often depends on the budget, but I think you'll have between 5 or 6 programs a year, sometimes more.
All right. Well, Andrew's going to take us out of the into a commercial break, and then we're going to talk more about Andrew and her experience in growing up playing the harp. So let's go. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterChamber.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, Financial Advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Well, welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon and HunterChamber.com. We got live intro and exit music from Andrew Felix. We're talking to her and Maestro Smoley about Riverside Sinfonia, and it's great to have this conversation and all that's going on at this point. So, Maestro, so we talked a little bit about the Riverside Sinfonia, the musicians, and how this is a biannual competition. So when the I think you kind of gave it to me, but I just want to emphasize it. When did it decide that you wanted to actually still bring in the young musicians and give them the opportunity? How did that idea gel?
Well, it's sort of a common practice among many orchestras, both in the United States and all over the world, to have some sort of a competition for young and aspiring musicians and give them opportunity to perform side by side with professional musicians, either in the form of a youth orchestra playing side by side professional orchestra, or soloists playing with the orchestra, and usually those soloists are being selected through a competitive process. So it wasn't a totally original idea, but I think something very logical and needed, and we started doing it in 1998.
So you took over, you started getting involved. You had about 4 years of work with it, and then at that point, I'm sure after some other organizational and cultural adjustments you were making with Riverside Symphony. You felt that it was the next step.
Yes.
Logical next step. So was there a little bit of trepidation getting involved in it, trying to get it organized, making sure it was going to be the quality that you were expecting?
Of course, you never know exactly what the end process is, but given the amount of young, talented people that live in the area and study music, and the fact that, you know, within 1 hour drive, or maybe 1.5 hour drive, you have some of the most wonderful conservatories and music schools in the world, you know, including Curtis or Juilliard, etc. I never worried about interest and quality of the applicants and all the competition that we organized so far, and I believe 9 of them proved that the level was indeed very high, and almost everybody who got to the final stage was capable and competent to stand in front of the orchestra and play a solo part, which is amazing.
And so you made the decision to do this. Now that you had to organize the actual competition process, did you borrow that from another process, or do you make some adjustments on your own?
No, I think that the process is pretty straightforward and logical. You advertise with the local music schools, with the local teachers and teachers' newsletters, just to make sure that people who are involved in education and the students itself are aware. You set the guidelines in terms of type of repertoire, type of instruments. At the beginning, we couldn't use piano, for example, because just logistically in our situation, St. John, we couldn't easily incorporate piano as a solo instrument. Now we can do that, and St. Martin. You decide on the age and the geographical area from which you draw, and you advertise, and then the process moves forward.
And then these folks have to perform where first? When you send out the flyer, what's their process?
They are required to submit a recording.
Okay.
And we have a panel of judges that listens to all the recordings, and we don't know the names. We don't know who is who. We just listen to the excerpts. We judge them in some simple numerical system, and the top 8 or 9 in this case are being awarded to perform a public concert, which is being again judged by different set of judges. And this is what's happening tomorrow.
Okay.
And then the winner of tomorrow's competition is the our featured soloist next season.
Next season at the Christmas concert.
Yes.
Excellent. So, Andrew, how did you learn about the opportunity here, Riverside Symphonia, and the competition?
As the maestro said, there were several newsletters sent out, and one of those I was given by my at-home orchestra, the Greater Princeton Youth Orchestra. Mm-hmm. It was a sponsored newsletter, and that's how I heard about it, yep.
And forgive me for asking this, but what made you say, I got to do this? What was in your competitive DNA that says, I'm worthy, I want to take this on?
I think I've reached an age where I need to get more involved in the musical world.
Mm.
So this is one of the first steps for me.
Mm.
So I'm really excited about it, yep.
Neat. Now, once again, so you learned about it. You said, all right, I want to take this on. Now, Maestro said you got to submit a recording. So what was the process that you went through with your teacher, perhaps your private teacher, that decided the particular piece that you were going to submit for a recording?
Well, I started a concerto over the summer, and as soon as I finished it, my piano teacher, he also has a sound recording booth, so we went straight there and we recorded.
Wow. How long did it take you to get it the way you wanted it to?
It's probably 7 or 8 takes.
Yeah. It's a lot different when you have to make it perfect and fit it all together. Which brings up an interesting question, Maestro, because she had the opportunity to use a recording studio. It has to be one take. You can't do the editing. We wouldn't allow the editing and the punch editing in a recording, right?
Well, when you listen to a recording, sometimes you can tell it was edited, sometimes you can't,
depending
on how sophisticated instruments in terms of recording you are using and who is the recording engineer. But I think even when you have the ability to sort of massage the product or not, a experienced ear is able to judge the quality of the performance regardless.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it comes through, no
right.
doubt.
Right. Right.
And there's just so much piecemeal you can do before it degrades to a point. So, all right, you put this recording together and you sent it out, and what was your thought process? When were you waiting to hear the next step? And then you had to go, when you received that notification that you were going to have to perform now in this concert tomorrow, what was your thought process?
I was really happy and sad, like nervous at the same time, mm-hmm. because you know, I would have to prepare
yeah.
and actually perform in front of the judges and be judged on the piece.
Uh-huh.
But I really liked the challenge, and I'm really excited for it.
Excellent. So now, when did you learn that you were going to perform in this particular concert that's taking place?
I believe the beginning of this month, yeah.
All right. So you knew a few weeks ago. And Maestro, now, what's the process? You said eight students?
Exactly nine.
Nine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nine different pieces. Are these full pieces?
No, I think we need to find a time frame which is fair and doable, both in terms of being able to audition and listen to eight or nine players, and also giving the musicians enough time to show their abilities and somehow work with the repertoire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's some concertos that are, you know, 1 hour long and have three movements.
Yeah.
There are some concertos that are 10 minutes long and everything in between. So we set the parameter between 10 or 13 minutes, trying to give everybody a fair chance.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you can find a short concerto or solo piece that is exactly of that length. Sometimes you just take an excerpt of a concerto. You have a pianist playing.
Right.
Just first movement of a Beethoven concerto, etc. Just trying to give everybody more or less the same amount of time within a reasonable frame.
Sure. Now, you're choosing the pieces?
No, the repertoire was up to the contestants. Some of them had more than one to offer, and
okay.
I would make a decision also based on what it's aesthetically pleasing to the audience tomorrow. You don't want to have two Beethoven piano concertos, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or especially if sometimes the students decided to play the same piece. So then you try to change the program just a little bit to also give the program the right flow and balance and contrast.
A completely other aspect to performance programming is you had nine performers, you got multiple submissions of what they were deciding to play, and you're somehow trying to make it enjoyable for your concert goers
exactly.
at the same time.
Exactly.
And it makes sense. So we wouldn't want to have an avant-garde 21st century piece with Beethoven all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least we want to have an intermission anyway. So, Anju, what did you pick? What were your choices?
It was between two different concertos. The first one, which is what I picked, Concerto in D Major by Vivaldi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more Baroque piece, and aria in classic styling by Grangini, which is from the Romantic period.
All right. So we got two different centuries there.
Yeah.
You've only been doing this for so long. How do you even digest the difference between the Baroque period and the Renaissance period? What's your teacher go through to try and teach you the techniques that apply to those? Because it's completely different, and I don't know if you've been exposed to all that yet. The techniques, how you interpret the music, because it happens to be a certain piece, you have to do something different. How do you go through that with your teacher?
I feel like now I really do enjoy playing classical music,
mm-hmm.
so I understand like the personality of each piece, and you know, I turn on the metronome every single day, and I work through it. So I think that's what gives it character.
Sure. Now, Maestro, you've made your programming choices, and how much practice time do you work with the Sinfonia at first before they get involved, and then after that, when you introduce the nine players, I'm sure they're not showing up on the stage for the first time tomorrow. So how much practice time are you giving them to make everybody comfortable and feel they're going to do their best
Well, they are given just the basic parameter. This is the competition. This is the time you need to show up, and this is what you play. We're going to be judged. Then we have a nice reception, and we award three prizes. And they are, in a way, being treated like young professionals. You know,
wow.
There's no any involvement between me and them except for the interview today with Andrei. So
neat. The orchestra, the symphony is playing.
Tomorrow they are appearing only with the piano accompaniment.
Oh, only piano. Okay.
And then the winners play with the orchestra.
Symphony. Yes. All right. That's where I was losing it. So is it the same piano accompaniment person or they bring their own?
They bring their own.
Oh, okay. So how long have you been practicing with your pianist?
We've been practicing every Sunday after church this month, yeah.
Wow. And you've only known for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Impressive. So what did you choose?
Concerto in D major.
All right. Yeah. Are we going to spoil it if you give us an excerpt, or is that going to, or do you want to do the other one so we don't have Maestro Smoli affected by your first performance?
I'm not sure. I mean, I would love to play.
Feel free to play whatever you
want. All right, she's free to play. Well, go ahead. Give us an excerpt. Let me move the microphone for you. All right, this is Anju Felix playing a little bit of her performance, which will take place tomorrow. I get it. That was Baroque, right?
Yep.
All right. So what was that piece?
Concerto in D major by Vivaldi.
By Vivaldi. Okay. Excellent. We all know he wrote the Four Seasons, and we're getting close to spring, so excellent. It was so beautiful. That was just wonderful. Now, how long have you been practicing that on your own?
I started learning in summer, so, yeah, since summer.
Been a while, yeah. Could you give me a hint as to how many strings are on that?
On this one, there are 44.
44. So for those of you that play a guitar with 6 strings or 12 strings, you just have to add a couple, and you might be on the right, on the same page there. Plus throwing in the pedal, which most guitarists don't have a chance at doing at this point. It's just wonderful. Really, really well done. So, Maestro, the concert tomorrow, these 9 performers are going to come in, and they're going to go up and perform this. The judges, how are they selected?
We try to find people that are professional musicians of good reputation,
mm-hmm.
who will be impartial, and who are willing to donate their time to help us with
Excellent.
The process. So there'll be 3 judges. I'm one of them.
Oh.
Then we have a wonderful violinist, Elizabeth Pitkern,
mm-hmm.
and pianist Gabriela Imra. So you have a pianist, violinist, conductor, trying to give a different angle of expertise to music, and we should arrive with, hopefully, good decisions.
Now, this is not a blind judging now. You're going to see the whole performance.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Does anything from the previous judging incorporate into it, or is this a clean slate?
No, it's a clean slate. There are some people that participated. We have a one student who participated before as a finalist.
Mm-hmm.
Did not win the competition. She's trying again, which is perfectly
mm-hmm.
fine. There could have been some students who were trying the first round, and maybe they tried before. I don't know that because I don't really
mm-hmm.
know the names. I'm just listening to music and
sure.
without any prejudice, yep. deciding the quality of the performance rather than looking at the name.
Yep. No, I've been in competitions back when I was your age, and one day you have it, and one day it just isn't the best. So you get back in and do your best the next time. So, yeah, I was in the regional and all state and all that type of stuff. So give us a hint as to all the different performances that will take place tomorrow.
It's a very interesting group of young artists, variety of instruments and very interesting repertoire. We have harp,
mm-hmm.
as we know. We have a flute player who is going to do Bach flute concerto. We have an oboe player who is doing part of Richard Strauss' concerto for oboe
mm-hmm.
and strings, of course, in the version with piano. We have two violinists. One of them will do part of Tchaikovsky violin concerto. The other one will do Gypsy Airs by Pablo Sarasate. Very difficult, challenging program. And then we have two pianists. One of them is doing Beethoven, part of Beethoven concerto, and another, I believe, Prokofiev. So it's a wonderful gamut of repertoire, different instruments. Oh, I have a saxophone player. I have a saxophone player
really?
who does one movement of Glazunov concerto for classical saxophone and orchestra in the original and piano tomorrow. So really wonderful gamut of instrument,
yep.
Musical colors and composers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you won't get a lot of saxophone classical pieces. They're just not out there. But that's great. So we got a whole variety of all the different musicians. And the age range, what's the typical age range?
The age is between 14 and 20.
So you are the
you're
younger.
Probably the youngest.
You're taking on everybody. That's awesome. Wow. That's incredible. So the performance takes place when?
It takes place at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. at Thompson Memorial Church
mm-hmm.
in New Hope. On Aquanaut Road.
Okay. Yeah, 2 p.m. and it's going to last. We're going to hear 9 excerpts or at least movements. And so that's going to be at least in
about 2 hours, including international.
About 2 hours. Yeah. Beautiful. All right. So how do people get in touch with to find out tickets? And
it's a free admission. There are no tickets. They just need to show up at 2 o'clock at the church and enjoy wonderful free music. And, you know, we called what we do classical music, which is a term I'm really uncomfortable with, because it has this coloration of being stiff,
yep.
antique,
yep.
not relevant.
Right.
You name it. It's very often not a positive
right.
spin. And I think we're just playing the best music. I mean, if you think about the history of music that goes hundreds, if not thousands, of years,
mm-hmm.
and you think about all those hundreds of thousands of composers that compose anything from simple drum beat, you know, somewhere 5,000 years ago to Bach, who wrote the most sophisticated fugues. As the time goes on, by natural selection, many of those compositions, songs, got forgotten.
Right.
And somehow the human heritage preserves what's the best
right.
over the years. So
yep.
so I think if we still play something that was written 400 years ago, or even 30 years ago, it shows that it has a certain value that is here over time, and that's why I think the classical is not a good term. I call it the best. I think the best of the best, and
mm-hmm.
there's nothing wrong with a great rock and roll song. And I was in Beatles cover band when I was in high school, you know, and I played
sure.
guitar, and I do have a lot of appreciation for pop and rock, etc. But if you think what's the longevity of some of those pop compositions versus Beethoven mm-hmm. and Brahms, you very quickly come to the conclusion that
mm-hmm.
it's very different, and there is something in those so-called classical compositions that stay with
yeah.
human heritage for decades, if not hundreds of years
yeah.
to come. So I'm delighted to see the next generation of young people doing just that.
I'm glad you brought a philosophical point to this. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to bring you back, and we'll do a little philosophical discussion to end the show. So Andrew's going to take us out. We'll be right back with more of Good Morning Huntington, HuntingtonChamber.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Huntington Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Huntington Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Huntington County.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we have Andrew Felix here with me. She is going to be performing tomorrow at 2 p.m. over there in New Hope at St. Martin. And Maestro Smoley, I keep doing that, I'm sorry, Maestro. Maestro Smoley is overseeing the Riverside Sinfonia, and he's one of the judges, and eventually will be conducting one of the nine performers that will win that competition tomorrow. So, Maestro, you brought up a philosophical discussion at the end of the last segment, and this is the part why I was telling you I love to do this, with regard to talking to people about what you the best music you, that everybody else uses the word classical music. It's harder to get used to this music, not because it's old, it's because there's more intricacy to it. It's more complex. As you continue to peel back the onion of this music, you learn more and more about it. And I think that's one of the reasons why people do not gravitate to it immediately, because it requires work.
I think we're living in a society that really lacks instant gratification. That's why, you know, McDonald's is selling more food than the just little upscale restaurant, right, or grocery store with health food next door.
Right.
And art is not different, you know. We all enjoy Warhol's photo of can of tomato soup because we make this instant connection and it's sort of artistic instant gratification in understanding what it is. Maybe it actually is deeper than that. And with classical music, it's not always the case. But I think, in spite of the complexity of some of the greatest work, there's also an immediate appeal. We just need to be a bit patient and a bit more open to do that, because If you think about music, all kinds of music, whether it's a gamelan from, you know, Indonesia, or Beatles songs, or Beethoven symphony, or Stravinsky ballet, and if you were to describe music to somebody who came from planet Mars and never heard about, you know, a concept of musical narration, what would you say? Mm-hmm. What I would say is that in the natural, music either sings or dances. Yeah. Either laughs or cries. It's a big simplification. But I think, really, whether you look at the beautiful second movement of Beethoven's symphony or nostalgic song by the Beatles, this mm-hmm. those are the same human emotions.
Yep.
And they may be expressed with one guitar and one voice, or they may be expressed with 80 instruments being on stage. But right. the basic message is the same.
Sure. So, Andrew, you expressed that you started out playing the harp, and it started to, as the more you started to learn, the more interesting it became. Take us through a little bit of that understanding, that process as you started out, because you're a young mind who's maturing, and sometimes this doesn't make as much sense to students at your age before you get to 14, even after. So how are you starting to gravitate more and more into the, as Maestro says, the best music?
Well, I guess the first thing that really helped me was the Royal College of Music ABRSM testings.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 8 levels, and I've been taking one every year. I'm on level 5 right now. So those really helped me excel using, like, a rubric and a syllabus.
Mm-hmm.
So those really helped, and I think I've really started to enjoy the music that I've been playing for the first time when I was in 7th grade. My orchestra was playing Scheherazade, and that's probably one of my favorite pieces to this day
sure.
because of, you know, the story that it tells. So I think that's what really made me enjoy what I'm doing right now.
Wow, that's great. So tell me a little bit more about your performance experience. You said you were working with the youth orchestra in Princeton. You're doing this competition. You're doing your. You're working with your private teacher. You're also doing work at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? And oh, by the way, taking exams. So what else are you doing? Is that pretty much it for today?
I'm also in the Temple Harp Ensemble at Temple University, and that's pretty much a day's work every Saturday. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's great to hear, Maestro, how students still can locate these opportunities and take advantage of them. Any other advice for Andrew as far as growing her career and experience?
I would say be open to the world in general and to different types of arts in particular, including different kinds of music,
mm-hmm.
because there's something to learn from everybody, and I think every musician you meet on your path, whether it's your friend at high school or professional conductor, in my experience, is somebody you can learn something from. And looking at great art,
mm-hmm.
looking at sculpture, listening to other instruments, enjoying good book and good movie will make you a better artist too, better harp player.
Yeah. I talk to people about this because of my music background, but also because of my professional background. Humble and being willing to learn. If you have those two options, there's nothing you can't do. Usually, if you don't have those two characteristics, you shutting out the opportunity, as Maestro was just talking about, where you miss out on an opportunity to absorb something that might make sense to you, might not make sense to you right now, but will make sense to you later on. So humble and being hungry to learn is the two characteristics I would definitely tell you to do. And it sounds like you've got a lot of those characteristics already. So Maestro, what's next for the Sinfonia? What are you planning besides the having this concert tomorrow?
Yeah,
what's next on the schedule? Let's
clarify the place and time again. It's 2:00.
Yep.
2 p.m. Thompson Memorial Church in New Hope.
Thompson Memorial. I said St. Martin, right?
Yeah, and St. Martin is the location of our April concert.
Oh, okay.
I think around April 21st, we're doing a performance that will feature two soloists, mm-hmm. two of our principal players, violinist and oboist. We're going to perform double concerto for violin and oboe by Johann Sebastian Bach,
mm-hmm.
a Greek suite for strings called From Holberg's Times, and one of the more popular Haydn symphonies called La Passione, Passionate.
You only did a few symphonies.
Yeah, this is, I think, 47 or 48.
Yeah.
So that concert will take place, I think, on April 21st or 22nd. All the informations about our performance tomorrow and our next concert at St. Martin's are on our website, so anybody who would like to learn more can go to riversidesymphonia.org and get all the details about our upcoming events.
Beautiful. And the concert season is typically fall to spring?
Yes, we have a fall concert, a very popular Christmas concert. We have a chamber concert in usually February, March.
Mm-hmm.
Every second year we have the Young Artist Competition spring concert. There we have a choral instrumental concert collaboration with Bucks Country Chorale every year. And our probably most famous event is the concert Under the Stars around July 4th, the weekend of July 4th in Tinicum Park.
Wow. All right. So there's summer events as well. Andrew, what's on your plate after tomorrow? What are you planning to do?
Well, I also have a concert on Sunday in the Kimmel Center with the Greater Princeton Youth Orchestra.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And I'm doing a few more competitions this year with the Sicilian Music Club and the National Young Artist Showcase.
Okay.
So, yeah, exciting.
Excellent. Well, you got a lot of opportunities to play. And as a harpist, I imagine you have to locate them. It's not a, when I was playing trumpet, you can get a trumpet gig just about anywhere. Harp is not always included all the time. So I'm glad you're seeking the opportunities. That's great. So we are at about 2 minutes left. I'm going to let you say your goodbyes, and you got to thank your dad for hauling this thing up.
Yep.
We are on the second floor, folks, and Andrew's dad, I saw him this morning taking his harp, it's 85 pounds, up the stairs. Big thank you to Dad for that, please, okay?
Thanks, Dad.
There you go. Because Dad doesn't have to go to gym anymore. All right, so we're going to let Andrew take us out, and we're going to have Maestro give us his final thoughts, and then I want to thank you all for coming. This was great. So, Andrew, let's hit it. One and two. So, Maestro, thank you so much for coming. Appreciate it as always. Have a great competition, And good luck with everything that you're doing. My goodness, it's you're just as busy as Andrew is.
Thank you very much.
All right, so this is Good Morning, Hunterin. We had Maestro Smoley and Andrew Felix. Please go and see the Riverside Symphonia tomorrow and make sure that you cheer on the budding professionals and musicians that Riverside Symphonia is showcasing tomorrow for their big competition. You're listening to Good Morning, Hunterin. This is Big C. I'm signing off. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterin Medical Center. Hunterin Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterin Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterin Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterinhealthcare.org.
You USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says there's a growing chance of a contested Republican convention, telling reporters a contested convention is more likely than anyone thought before. North Korea firing two ballistic missiles into the Sea of Japan, both believed to be medium-range ballistic missiles, and this comes as the U.S. announces new sanctions against North Korea. A Phoenix man sentenced this summer in connection with a planned terror attack in Texas. Abdul Malik Abdul Karim found guilty yesterday on all five counts. This juror says the nature of the case was not easy.
His son, that was the hardest part of the whole trial, was watching him and poor Miss Clough, I mean, that whole situation. I mean, that was difficult. That was hard for me as a, you know, as a father of a daughter to see that.
Prosecutors say he helped plot an attack at a Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest last year in Garland. And a pizza shop owner in upstate New York getting 22 years in prison for being an ISIS recruiter, pleading guilty in December for providing material support. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin from Daybreak USA. Well, the winter may have been dry for you, your hair may be a little brittle, and maybe you color your hair. Well, I've got great news for you. I told you last week, one of my coworkers, Charlie, saw me in the hallway, and he said, hey, I've heard your Ovation commercials, and your hair really does look fantastic. I was kind of surprised, but hey, who doesn't want a compliment from a coworker who says your hair looks fantastic? All right, for those of us that color our hair, and a lot of us do, Ovation introduces their latest in color therapy treatment, the Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. Now, with this new color protection system by Ovation, you'll experience less color fade and longer lasting color. And who doesn't want that? And for a limited time, Ovation will pay your shipping costs if you purchase the new Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. The offer won't last long, and also, you know, you can get an introductory discount if you're a new Ovation hair care purchaser by selecting Angie Austin, Daybreak USA at checkout. OvationHair.com, OvationHair.com.
Former GOP presidential candidate Marco Rubio says he's not interested in being the vice president. In his first comments since dropping out of the race, the Florida senator telling reporters he's not running for re-election, saying he'll be a private citizen when his term ends. The government suggesting it's concerned about a mosquito-borne virus coming to the United States. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with the details.
The feds say Miami tops the list of major U.S. cities at risk for a Zika virus outbreak this summer. The new report calculating the risk in 50 U.S. cities where summertime temperatures could create ideal conditions for the type of mosquito that spreads that disease. The federal researchers using computer modeling to factor in weather conditions and travel patterns along the Gulf Coast and Eastern Seaboard. Miami, Houston, Orlando, they all make the list. Other cities with high risk include Jacksonville, Savannah, Charleston, Mobile, and New Orleans.
The mayor of Newark, New Jersey, calling out the Newark public school system for its knowledge of high lead levels in the school's drinking water. He's pushing for control of schools to be returned to the city. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need to get a grip on my company's spending.
Staples has low prices every day.
So I won't...
Is that low?
Well, Staples has everyday low prices on the office items you use most.
How do you know what my office uses most?
We have low prices on pens, coffee, pencils, tech products, ink, and paper.
You do know what we use most. You're like a psychic.
Well, that's just what I see in your cart.
Oh, right.
Go to Staples for everyday low prices, plus special deals for even more.
Carolina Courtroom, USA's Tammy Rose reports.
Albert Taylor is accused of shooting a 17-year-old at a South Carolina bowling alley. Jamari Fair, Dennis Gibbs, and a 15-year-old are also facing murder charges, but none of that seemed to faze them.
What are these cameras for?
It's for news media.
No, I got a question.
Oh, news media? What's up, y'all? Man, you following me on Twitter?
Following me on Instagram, Luca Bassett Jr.
Snapchat.
The victim's great-grandfather shook his head as he listened to the outrageous outburst in court.
Talk to... his mother just the other day, and she just getting in the house and getting his room all straightened out, and then just 3 or 4 days later, this happened.
I'm Tammy Rose.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings, only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
A diabetes drug could help lower the risk of recurring strokes and heart attacks. A trial done at Yale University finds that the drug sold as Actos decreased the number of cardiovascular incidents by nearly a quarter through a 5-year span. A different study done in 2006 found the drug reduced risk for heart attacks and strokes, but not for those who had experienced one previously. People who undergo heart surgery or suffer a cardiac event are typically prescribed a cardiac rehabilitation program as part of their recovery process. Dr. Leslie Cho with the Cleveland Clinic says cardiac rehab is one of the best things the heart patients can do to improve their odds of survival, as well as their quality of life.
We have designed an exercise program. You exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise capacity.
Cardiac rehab is a 12-week program that's suited to each person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with Dr. Leslie Cho with the Cleveland Clinic says cardiac rehab is one of the best things the heart patients can do to improve their odds of survival, as well as their quality of life.
We have designed an exercise program. You exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise capacity.
Cardiac rehab is a 12-week program that's suited to each person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with a nutritionist. And most cardiac rehab is paid for by insurance after you've had a heart event or a surgery. Dr. Cho says multiple studies have shown that folks who do cardiac rehab actually live longer, have fewer heart attacks, and less need for repeat hospitalization. And she urges people who don't think it's worth their time to give cardiac rehab a try.
It's really crucial because it's not just about exercise. It's about learning how to eat, learning to stop smoking, controlling your stress factors.